Well, he is risen. He is still risen. He still reigns. He still will return. And we're going to take the word of our risen King and turn to Colossians 4. Thank you, musicians, for those words of our King and his kingdom to come, who we want to praise and glorify. Colossians chapter 3 has covered a lot of important subjects. It's talked about the dealing with sin. It's talked about the family. It's talked about our work. Today, as we come into chapter 4, we're going to spend some time in this equally, if not more important subject that really goes over all of those, and that is the subject of prayer. I find as we go through God's Word verse by verse, it addresses our needs. And this is an area that I've sensed my need even more than ever, my weakness. And I pray that we will grow together in this subject of prayer. I'm convicted in my own prayer life. I want to grow in that. I praise the Lord for prayer partners. My mind, when it comes to prayer, is like the hymn says, prone to wander. But I want to share a story with you as we begin of the big impact of a little old lady who prayed for me. We were in the Philippines for 4 years. My family, I grew up on the mission field. We came back, I think I was 12 years old at the time, and one of our supporting churches, there was this little old lady who came up to me, and she said, Philip, I want you to know, I've prayed for you every day since you were here last 4 years ago. And I can see her face. I can still feel the impact of that. I was overwhelmed to see this dear old lady who I didn't even know or recognize, knowing, and I knew as she said that, she had been praying for me every day. And I think the untold story of so many of our lives is people like that who have been praying for us. You know, sometimes the faithful, well-known Christians we think of, but I think we need to think of faithful women, as I'm thinking in my years even here, who have included women like Jean Wierum, Diane Ross, Marge Bell, a number who have gone on to heaven, and that torch that they carried needs to be picked up. I think of prayers of my own mom. I think of spiritual mothers here. I think of Jan Bentley, Bonnie Bosich, Nancy Ross, Nancy Lovejoy, Donna Hall. There's some praying ladies that meet here on Thursdays. I think of Shirley and Marion, Becky, Rachel, others. There's a lot of you that pray throughout the week or pray in smaller groups. And so I want to praise the Lord. You see some people here up front on stage, but I think the real secret to this church and the ministry here, and I know for myself personally, has been secret prayer behind the scenes of individuals and couples and small groups praying for their church. And I just want to commend you in that and urge you to continue on more and more. Colossians 4, verse 2, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. And originally, I was going to keep going in verses 3 through 6. It talks about open doors and evangelism, but I just felt there's so much here to park in this subject of prayer in verse 2. And I want to, before we even go any further, pray. If you would please bow with me. Our great and gracious God, we have so much to be thankful for, Lord. We are so blessed, Lord. We have all received what we do not deserve in your grace, not just in salvation, but daily. I think of this last weekend, what a blessing, Lord. Last weekend having the most people we've had here since 2018. Lord, you are a gracious God. We thank you. We praise you. We also want to be watchful as you continue to grow and bless us, Lord. We need humility. We need unity. We need to grow in our mutual accountability with others. And Lord, we want to be watchful also beyond the walls of this church, Lord. And my heart is burdened right now for a seminary classmate of mine, James Coates, who has the walls of his church this week barricaded with multiple three fences and police and security, making sure no one will go there to worship this Lord's Day. But I trust even this hour right now, Lord, they are worshiping you wherever that would be. I pray, Lord, you would strengthen and encourage them, Lord. And I know there are many around the world who are not able to gather in their usual way, Lord. I pray that you would help us not to take these things for granted, that you would help us to be taking these things before your throne in prayer, Lord, that we would be praying for your church to prevail. Like, we know the gates of hell will not prevail against it, but Lord, we pray that you would even grow your church. I pray for Grace Life in particular, Lord, that you would even grow their numbers outside of the walls of their church and grow their witness for the gospel, which is of most importance. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to continue steadfastly in our prayer personally, in our family prayer, praying with others in our family, in our prayer for and with believers. And I pray that you would help our church to grow in care and connection and community. And Lord, I pray that you would help this time right now to be used of your Spirit in a way beyond anything I can say, that you would be moving us to speak to you more and more, and that we would see you at work more and more. We pray all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus, who right now is praying for us, and through the Spirit, who right now is interceding and even helping us in our weakness. I pray that you would help me in mine now and us in ours. In Jesus' name, through your Spirit. Amen. I remember a time when I was in the Democratic Republic of Congo, when I was away from church for a while, when I was traveling for a while, when I was not able to fellowship with people who spoke my language for a while. And it was a time of spiritual warfare. This was the time when I was over there with my son Mateus, and in particular the time when I was in the capital city. And the Lord in his providence and in those dark times provided for me some believers. I'd love to tell you more of the story later, those of you that haven't heard it, but he provided, even on the way I was there, a connection with someone who knew my family, and they, when I was in the capital city, connected with me and helped me in great ways, invited me to church, invited me to a home fellowship with them afterwards. And I was so struck in that time of the importance of being with God's people and also praying with God's people and how much we need each other. Last month, Pastor Corey preached from 1 Peter on loving care and connection and community. And so I want to keep those themes before us in this next passage that we look at about praying together and how prayer can build community, and how we need to be praying for more and more connections with the people the Lord is bringing here, and that we would be growing in care for one another, which I see happening, but we need to continue to pursue. And I'm struck even in this concept of praying together, how much it's prevalent even in the language of Scripture. Jesus didn't teach me to pray, "Give me this day my daily bread and forgive me." What did he say? He said, "Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us." Even in our prayer, which can even be in our own closet, as he talks about there, we're to be mindful of us, others. And this command here in chapter 4, verse 2, is a plural verb. It's not just for an individual. This is for groups. And so the title and the focus I want to walk through this passage in is prayerfully growing together in groups. Prayerfully growing together in groups. Growing in connection, community, and care. And so just two simple parts of this passage as it unfolds. The first is pray continually. That's how the verse starts. Continue steadfastly in prayer. Pray continually and then pray watchfully. He says, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. We're to be watchful and mindful of things to be thankful for, but also others around us, as we'll see. But look back at chapter 1, because this isn't the first time Paul used the word pray in this book. And I did a little search on this. Paul rarely says, "I pray" in his letters. Usually he says, "We pray." And this is how we start chapter 1, verse 3. "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you." And the we, verse 1, Timothy was with him there. In chapter 4, he's going to mention others who were with him there in prison who he was regularly praying with. Verse 9, and so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you. So that covers both of our points. Pray continually and watchfully with thanksgiving. Look at chapter 2, verse 2. Here's part of what is on his heart for them. Chapter 2, verse 2, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love. Think of how a baby, the psalm says, is knit together. That little body is knit together in its mother's womb. We have some here who that's been happening for them even now. But the body of Christ is also knit together in this way through prayer, through being connected to the nourishment that comes from Christ. And so chapter 2, verse 19 warns against not holding fast to the head, that's Christ, from whom the whole body nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments. So that's you. You can decide if you're a joint or a ligament. Grows, and that's how the body grows with a growth that is from God. Every part has a part to play. If a joint or a ligament is not doing its part, it affects the rest of the body, as many of you know. And so we want to grow in the body. We want to grow in small groups. We need more who want to open up their homes. And we pray even these fellowship meals coming up in a couple of weeks will be a part of that. There are many groups already existing now that we pray will grow closer. Some churches talk about small groups as growth groups. We are kind of liking the title life groups, because the goal is life on life together, being in each other's life and helping each other apply truth in real life. And so we understand, those of us, especially in this last year, how essential it is for us to gather as the church, but it's also essential to our life and growth. This has also become clear, I think especially in this last year, how important it is for us to continue beyond this time, to be gathering during the week, whether it's with two or with a group. So don't just think of 10 or 15 people. Anytime two or three gather in His name, you can think of this. But the first part of this passage that we see here is that we're called to pray continually. Colossians 4:2 starts with this plural verb to the church. Continue steadfastly in prayer. That's to continue regularly. Your Bible might say, be devoted to that. This is something that goes beyond just Sunday. If you think of prayer as a workout, think of how helpful it is for you to have a workout partner, someone who you work out with, or someone who you run with. Soldiers who do PT in the morning, as they gather together and run together, that helps spur them on. And this Greek verb was actually used for groups of servants as well as soldiers. It was used of someone on call. Acts chapter 10 says, Cornelius called a devout soldier from among those who attended him. That word attended him is the word translated continue steadfastly. It's the idea of continuing ready on call, always ready for that call. This is the word that was used of Jesus when he was teaching on the shores of Galilee, and he asked for a boat to be ready, on standby is the idea. It's the same word, continuing steadfastly. It's there on any moment's notice. Romans 13:6 uses this word for the same verb. He says, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are attending. There's the word. They are attending to this very thing. This is pretty timely, this being the April 15th week, to think about this concept here. Like the IRS is devoted to us paying taxes, we need to be continually devoted to praying to our Lord. Romans 12:12 commands the church, be persevering, devoted to pray. And I want you to turn to the book of Acts, if you will, because I want to actually walk through some of these. I think that it actually helps to see how this verb was often used for praying groups. So Acts chapter 1, verse 14, and this is when they were in the upper room. It says in verse 13, and it lists them, verse 14, all of these were with one accord, devoting themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus and his brother. So this is what was devoting them, what was marking them as the Lord Jesus went back to heaven and he told them to tarry and to pray, and they are praying. They're devoting themselves with one accord. And then the same verb is used in chapter 2, verse 42, as the church is born there at the day of Pentecost. It says there were 3,000 souls added, verse 42, chapter 2, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. So this is what they were devoting themselves to, even day by day. Verse 44, all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and they're contributing to needs. And verse 46, day by day, attending the temple together. That's the same word, devoting or attending. They were continually, steadfastly attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes. This is normal Christianity, and it flows out of this devotion to prayer. If you go to Acts chapter 6, verse 4, there's this same verb is used again for prayer. Acts chapter 6, verse 4, the apostles said, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. It's always struck me, even the word order there, be devoted, we will be devoted to prayer and the ministry of the word. There were important issues going on in the church with the Hellenistic and the Hebrew widows, and there was some dissension and disunity forming, and so they formed these seven men who would help with this. But they said, it's important for us not to neglect, as leaders, devoting ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. And notice in verse 7, or verse 6, they set these before the apostles, they prayed, they laid their hands on them. This is, in essence, the prototype of what you saw a few weeks ago, is deacons, servants, had hands laid upon them, praying for them, publicly committing them to help serve the needs of the church, so that we can also continue to devote to prayer and the word. And notice what verse 7 says, the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. This was the pattern of the early church. Prayer marked everything. And look with me at Acts chapter 4. As persecution began to arise, as they were commanded to stop teaching, and they said, we must obey God rather than men, and they were, the authorities came and they began to harass them and actually to beat some of them. But notice what verse 31 says, when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. And they prayed specifically from the Psalms in the prior verses. And actually that psalm they're quoting from was a psalm that Erin Coates, the wife of James Coates, quoted from this week about the nations that rage, people who are plotting in vain. And there's a vain plot for anyone who would think that they can stop the church, because the church is not just a building. Even if you could shut down a building, the church is the body of believers, and the church are those who worship God. And so we need to be praying even in these ways for the church around the world that does not enjoy what we are enjoying here this morning. And notice how they prayed in verse 28, in light of that, they prayed recognizing that God would do whatever his hand and his purpose had predestined to take place. And so verse 30, verse 29, they say, now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. We're going to see more and more opposition to the church. We're going to see it more and more on moral issues and issues near and dear to our faith. We need to be praying that God would help us to speak the word more and more with boldness, to speak the gospel. We need to be praying continually for these things. And I just want to highlight how the book of Acts really is a story. We call it the Acts of the Apostles. That's not what was in the original text, but it's really how God acts through the act of united prayer. Just giving you some examples, Acts chapter 8, believers pray together for the Spirit of God to come on the Samaritans. Samaritans had been the enemies of Jews, but the Spirit of God comes in a mighty way on Samaritans. And then in Acts 12, there's this home meeting where they're having a prayer time for Peter's release from jail, and Peter actually shows up at the prayer meeting. And they don't think it's that Rhoda, the servant girl, doesn't think it's, or she goes back and they don't believe her, and he actually shows up at the prayer meeting where they're praying for his release. And Acts chapter 13, the church at Antioch prays for Saul and Barnabas for their mission, sending out missions. That's an important thing to be praying for. And Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas, when they're in prison, they are praying and they are praising God at midnight. And you know the story, the house comes down, there's an earthquake, and people got saved. And the Philippian church was formed through that, and even the jailer became a member of that church, and his family became one of the charter members. In Acts chapter 20, Paul prays with the elders of the church in Ephesus. And in Acts 21, Paul prays with the church before he leaves for Jerusalem. And from there, Paul's arrested and imprisoned. And it's from there that Paul is writing this book of Colossians, writing it about prayer and how important prayer is. So Paul tells the church in Colossians 4:2 to continue that together. Pray continually, that's number one. And then number two, pray watchfully. If you go back to Colossians 4:2, he says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. We've had a number of messages already in Colossians on thanksgiving, but I would just remind you that this is part of what we're to be watching for. We're to be watching for God's grace that is at work, things to be thanking him for, looking for evidences of grace in others to thank the Lord for. That's how Paul begins his letters, thanking them. Even the churches like the Corinthian church, where there was a lot of sin and struggle, he begins by thanking God in very specific ways for them. But the main point or part of this section here is being watchful, in the sense of the New American Standard has keeping alert, or the New King James has being vigilant. This is a strong term for being vigilant, being watchful, being alert to danger, always looking out for danger. This isn't just alert in the sense of awake. This is to be aware of danger. Maybe there's been times where you've been suddenly awakened to a danger. Maybe you were falling asleep while you were driving and you went over those bumps and that awoke you to danger and you were instantly on high alert. That's what this verb is talking about. Colossians 4:2 says, be alert, watch, pray with your eyes open. I think of Nehemiah when they were building the wall and there were enemies around. It says, we made our prayer and set a watch. Sometimes we need to pray, but also there's something we need to do. We need to have our eyes open. We need to be alert. We need to pray, trust God, but we can't trust some of the people around us. We need to be watchful and careful. And it's not a solo mission. We need to do that with each other. Colossians 4 is written to the church. Sometimes we read these letters like they're written to an individual, but they're written to churches, and this is written for what the church is to do, to be watchful of their team. It's the same verb in 1 Corinthians 16, 14. Be watchful, stand firm, act like men, be strong. This is also used of soldiers in 1 Thessalonians for putting on their battle armor. This is the word for them to watch, to be awake, to be putting on the armor of God, to stand up for Jesus. There's a line in that old hymn that says, put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with what? With prayer. And it says, where duty calls or danger, be never lacking there. This is an important principle that maybe we don't think about, how watchful we are to be in our prayer. Ephesians 6 goes through all those parts of the gospel armor that we're to put on And the last one is to put on the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And sometimes we think the sword is the offensive weapon, but I think it actually is, there's another offensive weapon, because after he says the sword of the Spirit, he says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for all the saints. So it's the Word of God, but it's also prayer that is our weapon in this fight. John Piper has a book where he talks about using prayer to fight for joy. His book is called When I Don't Desire God, which is where we can be sometimes. We don't desire God, and he has a chapter you could read more about using prayer in that fight for joy, how to wield the sword of the Spirit, which is prayer, or the Word of God in prayer to fight for joy. 1 Peter said to those Christians who were suffering, beginning to be greatly persecuted, more than we've seen in the West under Nero, he says, cast all your anxieties, cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. It's a wonderful comforting verse, but it doesn't stop there. He says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him firm in your faith. I want you to imagine for a moment, we had to stop the service and just say, we just found out and we need to all let you know this. There's actually been a mountain lion sighted on our property here. We actually had to do this a number of years ago. There had been a mountain lion during our service. We did it at the end of the service, not in the middle of the sermon, but we shared, just so you guys know, we don't see it now, but someone spotted what they think was a mountain lion up on the hillside over here. So we could just ask if you guys could keep your kids close. So we're going to take some time to make sure everything's okay. Can you imagine as a mom, if you hear there's a, or just any of you, if you know there might be a mountain lion hiding behind a car somewhere or down maybe by the playground area, you would be on high alert knowing there's a prowling lion that would like to devour someone. How watchful we would be. That's what Peter is saying. We need to be thinking that way spiritually, because there is a lion that is prowling and that is seeking to devour us. So we can praise the Lord for our safety teams. You see some of the men with the earpieces. They're watching. They're helping us out. But I want you to know, you are all on the spiritual safety team. We are all to be on the watch out for each other spiritually and how we are doing. You are all enlisted on the security detail spiritually. You don't all get a gun or one of those earpieces, but you all are called to watch out for other children of God. This is the word that Jesus used for a thief who, if he knew the hour, a man who, if he knew the hour the thief was coming to his home, would have been watching. I remember a time in the Philippines when there was someone who had come onto, had jumped over the fence first the week before. They'd poisoned our dog, and then the week after, someone, an intruder, had actually jumped over our fence. This was in the Philippines, and so there was a thief on our property. That was a, think about being alert, being fearful, being on the watch, wanting to make sure he's not going to come and break into your house. I think he just got scared and went away. But that the idea there is Jesus uses that word. If a man in the house knows a thief is coming, he's going to be watching. He's going to be careful. That's the idea. We're not just to welcome in through our front door those who would want to do us harm. We got to be watchful. And so as you think about this, prayer isn't a social media chat. Prayer is like a soldier's walkie-talkie. Think of prayer more like a soldier's walkie-talkie than just a social media chat with a buddy. Think of a radio channel in the trenches, a call for backup. Here's what John Piper says. Prayer is the walkie-talkie on the battlefield of the world. It calls on God for courage. It calls in for troop deployment and target location. It calls in for protection and air cover. And he's got verses for all these. It calls in for firepower to blast open a way for the word. That's what he's going to pray in Colossians 4. It calls in for healing of wounded soldiers, James 5. It calls in for supplies of the forces. And it calls in for needed reinforcements. He prays also, when you see the laborers that are needed, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. So as we need laborers with children's ministries and other ministries and those willing to share in different ways, we need to be praying earnestly for the Lord of the harvest to put that on people's hearts to send forth. But here's the point. This is what prayer is. It's not a domestic intercom to increase the comforts of the saints. You know, a little intercom system where you buzz and you're calling a bellhop or someone to come serve you. No, prayer is a wartime walkie-talkie for spiritual warfare. And so I need to ask you, are you in the fight? Are you in the fight? Are you availing yourself of this? And I say this to my own conviction. There are many times where I do not avail myself of this all-important resource that we have in connection to Christ. Are you in the fight? Are you in Christ? And I have to ask that question because if you're not in Christ, just trying to pray harder or to do more isn't going to do you any good. You need to, first of all, if you're not in Christ, if you're not following Him as your Lord, you need to begin by praying to Christ in humble faith to save you and to change you and to make you dependent on Him and to make you His soldier, which means you've got to come in surrender to Him first, to surrender to Him as your commander. And whatever He says, you will now do. You're trusting in what He did for you on the cross, His life. You're not trusting any good works, prayer, or anything else, church membership, baptism, anything else. You're trusting completely and totally and only in what Jesus did for you. And you come to Him as Lord, as Master, as Commander, and as Savior, and you ask Him to save you and to change you and then to make you His soldier, make you His servant, make you one who is dependent on Him. If you haven't done that, I would love to talk with you more about making Him your commander, your king, your savior. But as you come to Him in that way, we need to also recognize we are called to be watchmen for others and watchwomen for others. Luke 21:34, Jesus says, "Watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighted down." And then Jesus mentioned sin and the cares of this world. Stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength. And He's talking to this small group of Peter, James, and John in Gethsemane, telling them to pray together. He told them on that night, pray, watch and pray that you not enter into temptation. How easily them, even close to Jesus, could slip into temptation that night, and they did. We need to watch and pray. And even Jesus needed this. He asked them to come and to stay with Him and to watch and pray with Him. How much more do we need this? Jesus told those three men closest to Him in Matthew 26, remain here and watch with me. And if you know the story, they fell asleep. And He said to Peter, could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Boy, those are convicting words. But they're also comforting words when you realize that Jesus still continued to, despite their failings in prayer, despite their failings even that evening, the Lord Jesus in heaven never slumbers, He never sleeps, and He's actually praying for them. That night, He actually prayed for His disciples, and it says in Hebrews 7 and in Romans 8, He's actually interceding for us right now. So praise the Lord, He never slumbers, never sleeps, and He is interceding for us, but that should motivate us to continue that conversation with Him. And so opportunities to pray with others as a church. Yesterday at the men's Bible study, one of the guys shared about Monday mornings, they have a call with some men just to pray for each other, and they said the invitation's open, so you can see Sean or Jason. You want to learn more about that. There's a group Thursdays, ladies that gather here for prayer. You can see Becky Cote about that. That missions group is meeting this on the 22nd, I believe it is, once a month to pray. And one of the ideas we talked about at our elder deacon meeting was if you're a younger family, it's hard for you to get out on a Friday night, but you'd like to maybe host that group, just pray, hear about what missionaries are doing. They'd love to have others be more involved in that, and young people, or to come to it or to host it. So you can talk with Tim Plaxton about that. But also, we have a lot of groups that gather here, whether just a few people informally or some of the groups that meet on Sunday nights or Wednesday nights. But and we have a Friday night group with the young adults my wife and I are part of. But having prayer be a part of those times and dedicating and trying to grow more in how we pray is an important part of that. But anytime you're with a fellow believer is a prayer opportunity. You're having lunch, having coffee, even just taking some of that time to really pray for each other, and to do that and then to follow up with them can be a powerful thing. On your handout, in your bulletin, if you would, I think you have this in your handout, some discussion question guides. And I also have these online. Any of you that are watching, we've got these online through the pastor's blog, and there might be a link even through the Facebook page. But here's question number 3 in the handout. Part of our church covenant for members is to watch over other believers in brotherly love through prayer. And so a question to think about, and maybe even talk with someone about afterwards, is how can prayer help you watch others in brotherly love and be accountable? I want us to think a little more about how is prayer an important part of that, even in the commitment of our members that they said earlier. Number 5, how can praying together help build connection, community, and prayer? Talking about praying together. And then here's a good one to think about for yourself. Do you have one or more people outside your home you regularly pray with and for? Is there someone in the last week or the last month or even this year so far that you have spent time with and prayed for each other? We have commands like James 5:16, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. Now, that may not necessarily work great in some small group settings, but I think at the very least there should be someone who you're able to share your struggles with. Maybe it's not in the big group time, but afterwards, or with someone one-on-one, to be able to confess sins, pray for one another so that you could be healed. That's part of our healing and our health. And if you don't have someone like that in your life who you feel like you can do that with, pray for and pursue that command of God. If you've got the church photo directory, take time to go through and even pray about people that the Lord might have you to connect with. And so, number 7 is, how can you build prayer more into your times with your family or God's people this week? I think it's good to think of the things that are already happening. How can we build prayer into those more and more? And then flip your handout over, and we've got practical helps for prayer. This is also, we have a link to this online in the pastor's blog under resources on our website. But here's some ideas in the middle there for praying for your church. These are just some ideas. I didn't come up with these. They came from a book called Compelling Community, Mark Dever, Jamie Dunlop. But maybe for certain days of the week, along with whatever else you're praying and reading, you can pray for specific, maybe the letter M in Monday can remind you to pray for the men of the church. And then the W in Wednesday could remind you to pray for the women of the church on that day. And again, use your prayer, your photo directory to pray for some, or T for Tuesday. Maybe think of teens and children of the church. Or TH, I had to work on this one a little bit for Thursday because there's 2 T's, but maybe thanks. Thanks for the ministries of the church, or think of threats to the church that we can be praying for. An F, Friday, maybe think of fellowship among the body on the weekend. So you can come up with your own. This is just some ideas of ways to think about praying for what we may not normally pray for. And then specific people using that directory. Maybe some, I know of some people here who do a page a day, and then they maybe think of at least 1 or 2 people on there that they think might use the encouragement of them, just letting them know they prayed for them or asking how they can pray for them next time. Ask for requests. And then there's some spiritual requests there from that book. And so I would, just as a, I know it's easy for us just to toss papers aside, but I would actually encourage you, maybe put this paper even now in your Bible. And to this week, pray for some of these things. Pray for, if we all prayed these very requests for our church, let's see what the Lord might do this very month. And that last bullet point, something we can even be praying for, we're wanting to grow in more in our homes. Pray that we would see hospitality as an important part of our service to the body. And then praying with a fellow church member, just some ideas. And this would be as you're getting together with someone, and maybe you already do this, but some of us just need some helps in this. Just take some time before the time's out, before it's just 30 seconds left, but ask how you can pray for them. And something that I try to do when I can is actually pray for them then and there. I it also kills me if I tell someone I'm going to pray for them and then I don't, and then I see them, and I'm convicted. But one way to make sure you're praying for them is to pray for them even then and there, or to write it down. If you can use your phone or something to write it down to remind you to pray for them, but also to make prayer a bigger part of groups or gatherings that you already do. And if you can't connect in person, to call and pray with them over the phone. So we asked a brother this week in our young adult group just to help us with that. For those who aren't there, reaching out, letting them know we care for them. How can we pray for them? And sharing that with the brothers. And then just this last help here, growing in grace. And this is another one that I adapted from another church. But just ideas for a believer you interact with regularly. Because some of us, having spiritual conversations, that's kind of what these handouts are to do. Or we're wanting to try to grow interacting more around the things of God in groups, whether home groups or one-on-one or small groups. But here's just some categories to think about as we think of the acronym GRACE. God's Word and prayer. Just thinking about or talking about how are we doing in God's Word and in prayer. What are we learning from God's Word? And you can stir on someone else by what you're learning. Or in our relationships, our family and our friends, to be thinking about that and how we pray for each other. And accountability. Sometimes there's a specific area you need to ask help for someone as you get to know them and develop that relationship. Or the church, serving. And then evangelism. This is one that I think needs to be more for our prayers. Praying not just for the lost, that they would come to know Christ, but that He would use us, that we maybe think of one person, even now, think of a specific person that you hope to share more with this month. And if you share that with someone, then you can pray about it and you can follow up and share that more with them. So again, take this home as helps to pray together continually and watchfully with thanksgiving. I am so thankful for this last weekend. Yesterday was such a blessing. We're going to try to post the recording of the men's breakfast testimonies yesterday, but women as well, listen to that when we post it. It'll be a great encouragement of what God's been doing in our body. I was thankful for young men who even this last week asked how they could pray for me. I'm thankful to see many who we hadn't seen in months who have been back with us here at the church in recent weeks. I mentioned earlier when I was praying, last week was the most people we've had on a Sunday here in 3 years. And we praise the Lord for that. Even as we've shared, there's been 100 plus people who have moved on to different states since 2017. And our attendance actually is up from what it was before COVID, but there's a lot of things to be thankful for, but most of all, we need to be thankful for the gospel of Christ.